Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Wednesday edition of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is February 25th. We are recording this at 10 a.m. Eastern, and we have a bunch of games that we have picks for and some big ones. So we have three picks for tonight. I really like all three, so I can't wait to talk about them. But then after, we're going to talk a little bit about last night because I thought it was a pretty big night in the association. There's a lot to talk about, but let's start right away with the Thunder at the Pistons. This game tips at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and it's definitely a game that's lost a little bit shine because there is going to be no Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no Jalen Williams for OKC, but still nice to see these teams on the floor together. And overall, there's still a lot riding on this game. If you just kind of look at big picture stuff, Cade Cunningham, for example, is flying up the MVP boards. Right behind now, both Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And we've talked about it a lot on this podcast. We talked about it a lot with Kelly Bidlin yesterday. So if you want to hear more about the MVP award, definitely listen to yesterday's show. But it's just starting to get really close with some of these injury limits. And Cade now playing very well for the Pistons, as he has all season, but starting to get some like big showcase games on national television. And tonight's another one. This game's going to be on ESPN. It's going to be against an elite Thunder defense that is elite even when SGA and Jalen Williams are not out there. The rotation is just filled with dogs on the defensive end of the floor. And I do think that this is another opportunity for him to just kind of put it in voters' minds that I'm here, I'm leading this, you know, this Eastern Conference juggernaut, and I'm playing every single night. I think that's something that a lot of these voters do care about, is the availability. Availability is huge for the Most Valuable Player Award. So if Cade does have another big game and, you know, the Pistons win comfortably against the Thunder, even with some guys out, I do think that helps his case for the MVP award. But the way that I'm actually playing this game myself is I'm parlaying the Pistons on the money line to win this game against the Thunder with the Spurs on the money line against the Raptors. I'll talk a little bit about that game in a second, but for this game specifically, it's just, it's a little bit about what I talked about last night with OKC against Toronto. This Detroit team is number two in the league in terms of adjusted defensive rating. They are a top 10 defense when it comes to defending threes, whether that's, you know, threes allowed per game or 3-point percentage allowed. So I just think that you can trust this defense to stay at home on some of the shooters that have been, you know, winning games for OKC lately. I mean, they've won three straight games without Shai. They've been playing really well. I mean, the win in Toronto last night was very impressive. Absolutely killed me. But yeah, it's been guys like Isaiah Joe and Lou Dort and the shooters that have just been getting too free, in my opinion, for a team that's missing, you know, an elite on-ball creator in SGA and then, you know, a borderline elite one in J-Dub. I just don't really know how it's happening. I don't think it's going to happen against a team that's as disciplined as the Pistons. This is a very, very good defensive team. And then offensively, I think Cade and Duren do enough to just kind of get this team across the finish line. I wouldn't be surprised if they cover, but just felt a little bit better about just hoping that they win the game. I don't really want to be laying points. This Thunder team, I've been underestimating them a little bit without SGA, but it's also a good rest spot for Detroit. Not a great one for the Thunder. So that's something else that you have to keep in mind. But yeah, I just think this is a game Detroit wins, and it's another way to kind of loop in the second game, which I also wanted to talk about. So we'll do that right now with the Spurs going to Toronto, taking on the Raptors. Like I said, Toronto coming off a bad loss last night against OKC, ended up being favored in that game. And not only did I have them to win on the money line, I also had them in a parlay where I took them on an alternate, a +7.5. They couldn't even cover that, but yeah, it was just an ugly performance, at least for the first 2.5 quarters. But they did end up coming roaring back in that game in the third and fourth quarter. Got it to be, you know, a one possession game at one point, I believe, and nearly had a chance to win. But they ended up kind of letting OKC pull away in the end. And those are the types of games that they just drain you, both physically and emotionally. When you come back like that and you come so close to winning, but you end up giving it away anyway, those are the games that are really tough to come back from. Now it's a third game in four nights, the second leg of a back-to-back for a team that I believe is somewhat emotionally and physically drained, like I just said. And I do think this is a situation where the Spurs are just a way better basketball team too. So I do think this is a game San Antonio wins. If you just kind of look at the season-long numbers for both of these teams, the Spurs, sixth in the league in adjusted offensive rating at 117.4. third in the league in adjusted defensive rating at 111.3. Meanwhile, the Raptors, they're great defensively, sixth in the league at 112.2, but they are just 20th in the league in adjusted offensive rating at 113.5. And it's just kind of one of those games where it's like Toronto's strength and the bread and butter is the defense. San Antonio's better at defense, and they're way better at offense. So there's just way more for the Spurs to kind of hang their hats on. Also, San Antonio this season, 3-0 when playing as a road favorite of 6.5 to 12 points. Meanwhile, Toronto, 2-10 straight up at home when facing opponents that outscore their opponents by at least 3 points per game. So when the Raptors have played at home against elite competition, playing in Toronto has not made the difference. This has been a team that has struggled against the very best that the league has to offer. And if you just kind of look through the matchups too, it is pretty daunting for Toronto. I mean, if you're talking about this Raptors team and some of the weaknesses that they have, it's going to be consistency in terms of perimeter shot making. That's really not that big of a problem for the Spurs, who have one of the best backcourts in the league, or one of the best young backcourts in the league, at least. But I do think it's one of the deepest backcourt rotations in basketball with the three-headed monster that they have in Fox, Castle, and Harper. But also, this Toronto team is lacking in, like, size. Not size throughout the lineup, but, like, the center position is a huge hole for this team. And they tried their best to, you know, fix it at the trade deadline. Weren't really able to do it. They brought in Trayce Jackson-Davis. That doesn't really move the needle, but it's going to be very difficult for them to go up against a team that has Victor Wembanyama. Who is going to defend him on this Raptors team? It's very hard to even picture what that's going to look like. I think they're going to probably try Colin Murray-Boyles. I don't think it's going to work very well. I think that Wemby dominates this game on both ends of the floor. So I'm parlaying the two favorites in the first two big games of the night. It's -133 to take both the Pistons and the Spurs on the money line. I might end up going bigger than a unit than that on that. I'll decide in a little bit. But yeah, -133 right now. I think that's a really, really good price to be laying for this. I just find it very unlikely that you see those two teams win, OKC and Toronto. So I do think that the parlay is the way to go here. If you're looking to sharpen your edge this NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to start. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every single day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of our subscription options. Like I said, it's a great time to be a VSiN Pro. I said it yesterday, I said it the days before. March Madness is just right around the corner. We do so much for college basketball in the postseason that it's absolutely insane. We're going to have every single conference tournament written up. We're going to have a massive March Madness guide, picks for every single game from all of our, hosts and analysts, just so much that we're offering. And also it's kind of looping into baseball season as well. And we have a lot of our baseball season preview stuff up. Then also all of the stuff I'm doing in the NBA as well. Last night, in addition to doing, the podcast and giving out some picks there, I also added a late play on the Magic, both on the spread and the money line. That ended up pushing me into the green. So VSiN Pro subscribers would have saw that. Podcast listeners would not. So that is an incentive, I guess, to, go out and get the subscription. I definitely think it right now. The price is great for the intro offer, but also we have a great long-term offer as well. So just go over there, check out what we have to offer and think about it. Let's move on now. I have two more picks for the night. We'll start with the Cavaliers at the Bucks. This is a Bucks team that I feel like I have a pick for every single night, though it is a player prop and not a side. The Cavaliers are favored by 8.5 in this game. I should mention totals 227.5. I probably would lean Cleveland in this game if I were taking one of the sides, or I would use the Cavaliers on the money line in a parlay. If you do not like one of the two sides I used before and want to replace them with another, the Cavaliers are definitely worth a look. I think Cleveland's a wagon. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But the play I have in this game, Kevin Porter Jr. over 30.5 combined points, rebounds, and assists at -105. And the reason I have that is just Porter Jr. has become kind of the North Star for this team without Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has been playing some awesome basketball over the last 8 games. He's averaging 35.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And the numbers overall, just looking at traditional numbers, they're like stellar. 22.1 points, 8.3 assists, 5.1 rebounds per game over the last 8. Last night, he had 32.7 rebounds, 7 assists, and a win over the Heat. This has just been really kind of fun to watch. I know this is a guy with a lot of off-court issues and, you know, maybe not a player that you really want to root for, but in terms of on the court and just watching the basketball, he's really in a nice groove right now. And I don't really see any reason that's going to slow down against the Cavaliers. For as good as Cleveland is, and like I said, we're going to talk about that in a bit, they are not the greatest defensive team, at least in the on the perimeter. Like we're talking about a team that has Donovan Mitchell and James Harden defending at the point of attack, and that's where Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be doing most of his work tonight. So he's going to be defended by those two guys. I think he'll be able to create a lot of separation against them. This Cavaliers team on the season is a bottom 10 defense in the league when it comes to defending above the break threes. Just about 25% of Kevin Porter Jr.'s points come on those types of threes. This is also a team that is just 23rd in the NBA when it comes to defending in isolation. Porter's a really tough player to guard on an island. I think that they will see that tonight. And then in terms of the other stuff, assists and rebounds, the assists, I never really worry with him. Like, this is a guy that really does seem to go around 7 or 8 every single night now that he's, you know, the focal point of this offense. And rebounds, they come and go. Like, last night he had a big game as a rebounder. They don't happen every night, but I do just think that this is the type of safer play you want to make, that just in case he has 8 rebounds and 4 assists, I do think it'll overall even out in the long run, and I just think it's worth it. I think at 30.5, there's a really good chance that he hits this number or comes damn close just with points and assists. I think this is a really strong matchup for the Bucks backcourt, which I've said over the last couple of weeks, I really like it. Milwaukee, this is a completely separate point that I didn't plan on saying, but talked about it a little. This backcourt is getting really, really hot. Kevin Porter Jr., Ryan Rollins, Cam Thomas, they have a lot of firepower. And when you bring Giannis back into this, if you bring Giannis back into this, I guess I should say, because it doesn't seem like a lock he's going to come back, even though he wants to. It's just going to be very interesting, because I just don't think this team is as bad as people think. Talked about this a lot. I don't want to beat you over the head with it, but I do think that this team can win a playoff series or two, no matter who they're playing. I think that the East is weak enough and they are talented enough, especially with Giannis being the best player on the floor in any series in the Eastern Conference. I do think that there's a chance that they win a playoff series or two, which is why the other day I suggested a pizza money play on them to win the East at 250-1. But yeah, sorry, Kevin Porter Jr. over 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists, minus 105 to take it all back. And then we'll move on now to the final game of the night. But like I said, I do have some takeaways for the evening, so don't go away yet after this. Celtics at Nuggets. This is a game where the Nuggets are 3.5-point favorites at DraftKings. Totals 230.5. Game tips at 10 p.m. Eastern. And I absolutely love Denver in this game. I have the Nuggets -3.5 at minus 110 to win 1.5 units. The rest situation is really big when I'm looking at this game. This is a third game in 4 nights for Boston. Second leg of a back-to-back. Meanwhile, Denver is coming off 2 full days of rest, and that has been advantageous for them this season. They are 6-0 straight up, 4-2 against the spread when playing with at least 2 days of rest this year. And I do just think that overall, that extra, you know, time to prepare and just rest up for this matchup specifically is going to end up helping Denver quite a bit, because I think that when you look at the statistical profiles of these teams, very, very similar. Both of them are offensive juggernauts. Denver number one in the league in adjusted offensive rating at 120.6. Boston number two, 119.6. But the Celtics have been a way better defensive team this season. It's actually not even close. They're in the top 10, and the Nuggets are one of the worst defenses in the league. And that is something that if this were being played in Boston, or if this were being played with the two of them, you know, both coming off a night of rest, maybe that would have me leaning Boston. But the fact that it's going to be a Nuggets team that comes in with all this juice, all this energy, and the Celtics played last night in Phoenix, I do think that we're going to see a better defensive effort from Denver than we would on a normal night. And I will also add that of all the teams in the league that are like not equipped to defend Nikola Jokic, Boston kind of stands out to me near the top, because Nemias Keita, as good as he's been this season, he's been awesome, especially on the defensive end. He can get in foul trouble, and like those are the types of players that like Jokic will sniff it out and he'll just get him in foul trouble immediately. I think there's a chance that Keita's like 3-4 fouls in the first 3 fouls in the first half, I'd say very realistic, and I'd say 4 fouls midway through the third, definitely within reason. I think that Jokic is going to get him, you know, in unfavorable situations, let's say. And then also Nikola Vucevic, you bring him in off the bench. That's barbecue chicken for the Joker. I just don't think that there's anybody on this team that really matches up with him. And like I said, that's the same for pretty much any team in the league, but there are teams that have better options than the Celtics. And if they are scrambling around defensively, trying to help, the Joker's just going to pick them apart and find shooters. And this team is missing pieces right now, this Nuggets team. No Aaron Gordon still, no Peyton Watson, but there is shooting around the Joker still. And if they are sending help, he will find the shooters. They will knock down their shots with this being a game at Ball Arena with rest. I just think that this is a really, really tough spot for Boston. Even with Jaylen Brown coming back after not playing last night, you can maybe make an argument that like they're not really that poorly rested because Brown's going to be well rested. I don't agree with that. I think that this is a terrible spot for Boston. I think that Denver wins this game, wins it somewhat convincingly, and kind of quiets some of the concerns that we've heard over the last couple of weeks. Before we get into last night and recap the best bets for tonight, attention any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. All right, I said I wanted to talk a little bit about last night. I think we have to start with the Cavaliers beating up on the Knicks in Cleveland. That was a game that Cleveland was favored by 3.5 or 4, got out to 4.5 at some places, but man, it was not very competitive. The Cavaliers kind of ran away with it. It was a lopsided first quarter. They went into the second up 35-26. Knicks did make it close at some point, but second half was all Cleveland. Third quarter specifically was all Cleveland, and it was just a game where you kind of saw all of New York's problems come out. OG Anunoby gave them very, very little offensively. The team did not shoot very well overall. Brunson was actually very inefficient, only 6-for-19 from the floor. Defensively, he was getting cooked by Mitchell and Harden. And that's kind of where I stand with this matchup. It's that I just don't think the Knicks are good enough defensively to defend the backcourt duo of Harden and Mitchell. I think that making that move for Cleveland was one that really did put them ahead of New York, if not the other teams. And I obviously have been on the record on this podcast plenty saying that I do think the Cavaliers are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, but seeing them go out and kind of whoop another Eastern Conference contender was definitely something that made me feel good as I'm sitting here with what, a 6-1 ticket on the Cavaliers to win the East, also 14-1 to win the NBA Finals. This Cavaliers team did make a statement last night. They did it with Mobley playing only 24 minutes. And I just kind of think that that's like the big takeaway from that game is I've actually said it yesterday with Kelly that I think people are being a little too hard on the Knicks. I think that this recent stretch lately and overall, like their problems for the regular season is just a matter of them not, you know, maybe taking it as seriously as they should be. But I do think that defensively in the postseason, they'll look a little bit better. And overall, I think that they'll like maybe experiment a little bit less than what we've seen this regular season, because a lot of the reason that Mike Brown was brought in was to tinker with some of the things that weren't working with Tom Thibodeau. And I do think that this is a team that has tried to get away from Jalen Brunson hero ball and stuff and tried to empower, you know, some of the off ball players a little bit. But in the postseason, they'll be able to just kind of fall back on what worked last year. And I think that that's a good thing to have in their pockets. But I still think that the best version of New York maybe pales in comparison to this version of Cleveland. As long as the Cavaliers stay healthy, I really do think they're going to represent the East. I know there's a tough road to go down because the East is a little bit better at the top than I think we all believed that it would be heading into the year. But man, I just absolutely love like their first 8 guys in the rotation. And Max Strus, it does sound like he's going to come back. I was actually looking this up yesterday because I'm like, this is starting to feel like he's not coming back. Kenny Atkinson, head coach of Cleveland, insists that he'll be back before the end of the regular season. It's not going to give him much time to get up to speed, but if he can give them anything in the postseason, like 16 minutes or something, that would be a huge help. I mean, he's just such a good shooter. He's a feisty defender for a guy that doesn't look it. But yeah, I just think this team made kind of a statement last night in a game that easily could have been way closer. They just went out, handled their business, and they did it pretty convincingly. So I thought that was really impressive. Something else to talk about last night, really not betting related, but it was nice to see DeJounte Murray return from a torn Achilles and score 13 points in a 113-109 win over the Warriors. It probably does actually have more betting impact than it might seem, because just we've talked about it all year. This New Orleans team does not have any incentive to lose. They do not own their first round pick next season. So bringing a player like Murray back makes them a little bit better for this season and maybe makes them a team that we're going to want to consider night to night in terms of covering spreads, just because I do think point guard play has been a bit of a problem for the Pelicans. And, you know, bringing in a veteran like that to stabilize it, even if he's coming off, you know, a major, major injury and not able to give you 30 minutes right away. He's playing well enough. He played well last night. I thought he looked really good just in terms of the eye test. I had New Orleans in that game, watched quite a bit of it. I do think that's something to factor in into our nightly handicaps. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is I did love Murray, mentioning after the game that he's not like all the other, you know, highly paid players in the league that, you know, will wait the entire offseason out before they make their debut the next season just because, you know, they want to rest and they're already collecting their paycheck and their team is bad. He's like, no, I'm not built like that. I want to represent New Orleans. I want to play right now. And I absolutely love that. Like, you just don't see it. It's very, very refreshing. Like, Kyrie Irving is sitting the rest of the season, making his debut from that, you know, torn ACL next year, sitting out the entire year this year. Tatum could have done it, but he's, you know, sounds like he's going to come back. I just respect the guys that go kind of against the grain and you know, put strain on their bodies and you know, lay it out there for their teammates. I think that that's admirable. So I love that he said that after the game. I love that he played. I love that he played well. It's going to be fun to watch him the rest of the season. Not expecting too much, but like I said, it does stabilize, you know, one of the weak spots in their roster. So maybe they will end up being a better against the spread team the rest of the way. Last thing I wanted to talk about, I talked about the Pacific Division a lot just because I did have futures on it with both the Lakers to start the year, then came in with the Suns on a bigger play. Now at the point where Phoenix does not finish first, I will end up losing. And it sure seems like they are going to finish second, maybe even third because of all the injuries lately. But I should just say the play out of these top two teams lately has been miserable. The Lakers last night, I ended up taking the Magic almost strictly. I mean, I talked about it a little on the podcast, said I had a lean on it, but ended up being able to find a pretty reasonable 7.5 and then also sprinkled the 185. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, every single time we watch this Lakers team go up against a team that, like, competes defensively and has a couple of competent scorers, they lose. And, like, I was sitting there, like, staring at it, and I'm like, why is this going to be any different? I mean, can this team really create, you know, enough efficient offense against an Orlando defense that I still believe in, you know, a decent amount? And I thought that, like, sitting there, I'm like, this feels like a game that, like, Desmond Bane's just going to go and win for them late. And kind of ended up being what happened, although it was just a bit of a group effort. Wendell Carter Jr. played very well for Orlando, just dominating a really weak center position for the Lakers. But yeah, overall, L.A., it's not working with this team. I don't think a lot of people expected it to work with this team. Maybe like regular season wins going over made sense. Winning the Pacific Division makes sense. They'll probably still do that. But in terms of like long-term hopes, doing something in the postseason, they're not good enough defensively. And the skill sets on offense are a little too redundant. Also, the center position is a problem. Even when Hayes is healthy, Jackson Hayes, that is, like, Ayton and Jackson Hayes, not good enough. Like, they just got torn up by Wendell Carter Jr. last night. That's not a good center. It was just a concerning performance. We've seen a lot of these concerning performances from Los Angeles lately. For Phoenix, losing, like, getting blown out by the Celtics without Jaylen Brown at home, even in a bad rest spot and with no Devin Booker or Dylan Brooks, like, they had reasons to lose that game, but to lose it the way that they did, by what, roughly 20 points. What was it? It ended up being 97-81. Scoring 81 points is insane against that Boston defense. But yeah, it's just been really, really bad. Ever since Booker's gone out, he will be back soon. It'll be better when Booker comes back. But Brooks being out 4 to 6 weeks, having just had surgery on his left hand, it's a nightmare. He was like the heart and soul of this Suns team and like the number one tone setter for changing the culture. It's going to be an ugly few weeks in Phoenix. I mean, I'm hoping I'm wrong. Don't think I'm going to be. I think that the Suns are just not going to be good enough defensively without Brooks and probably not good enough offensively with Booker, even with Booker back with Green and Allen and all those guys. It's going to be a mediocre team on both ends of the floor without Brooks. So ugly product. But yeah, two teams out West struggling. A fun night of basketball, though, and we will get into, you know, the Thursday card tomorrow, hopefully with Jonathan Von Tobel. But let's quickly recap the best bets for tonight before I get you out of here. I have a parlay with the Pistons money line versus the Thunder and the Spurs money line versus the Raptors. I have Kevin Porter Jr. over 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -105 versus the Cavaliers. And I have the Nuggets -3.5 at -110 to win 1.5 units versus the Celtics. Just those three picks for me. If you're noticing that I skipped two games for tonight, I'm sorry, but yeah, I don't have it in me anymore to talk about the Sacramento Kings. Kings are playing the Rockets. I think that will be a blowout, but don't feel good enough about Houston to bet it. And Golden State, Memphis, that's just, just disgusting. Like a Star Wars opening credit scroll of injury report players. Like I had no idea I was going to play in that game, but it's not a game I really want to think much about. And I don't see myself finding an edge. I'll look a little bit later at some props just to see if maybe I'm wrong and I can find something, but it's just not something I wanted to think much about right now. It's just an ugly game. The NBA right now, like with all the tanking teams and all the injuries, we're going to have big cards that get whittled down to a few big games. That's just fine. We could be a little bit more selective if we need to be, but yeah, we have three plays for tonight. Hopefully we win. We got back in the green last night, so two nights in the green in a row. Hopefully we make it a third this evening. And yeah, join me for tomorrow's episode of the Hardboard Handicappers and head over to vsin.com for my columns and any picks that I have.